appreciate you being here today and looking forward to the Lord blessing. And in your Bible, you have it open, please, to Genesis chapter number 33. Genesis chapter 33. And let's just read a few verses here, and I'll share something with you. And Jacob lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, Esau came, and with him 400 men. And he divided the children unto Leah and unto Rachel and unto the two handmaids. And he put the handmaids and their children foremost, and Leah and her children after, and Rachel and Joseph hindmost. And he passed over before them and bowed himself to the ground seven times until he came near to his brother. Now, before I go further, let me remind you what's going on. And God has blessed Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And here, Jacob and Esau, these two brothers, Esau had the legitimate right to have the birthright and the blessing. And you remember that he sold his birthright for a mess of porridge or some beef stew or deer stew or whatever it was. And he forfeited his right for the spiritual and financial and just leadership of his family. And he sold it to his younger brother, Jacob, and who will become Israel. By the way, Jacob means supplanter, and Israel means prince with God. But here they have been alienated, and because down near the very end of the death of their daddy, there was a plot, and he had sent his son Esau out to kill a deer and make him some good stew. He liked that spicy deer stew or whatever it was. And the mother overheard, and so she took her son Jacob, and she said, "I'm going to make some stew, just taste just like that, out of a bullock or lamb, and then you put some skin on you to where you have a lot of hair, and then let Daddy give you the blessing instead of his rightful son, which would have been Esau." And so they do that, and then he pronounces a blessing on Jacob. And then after a while, Esau comes in and the daddy is heartbroken and they realize what's happened. But it's one of those things you can't go back and change. And so Jacob had to leave home. He ran away because Esau threatened to kill him. Been alienated now for all these years, but now he's coming back home. And he's trying to appease his brother, and he sent him gifts ahead of time. And he doesn't know if his brother's going to still hate him, if he's going to kill him or what. And so here we go. Pick back up, please, in verse number 3. And he passed over before them and bowed himself to the ground seven times until he came near to his brother. And Esau ran to meet him and embraced him and fell on his neck and kissed him and wept. Boy, what a reunion. What a blessing. And what a thing to experience forgiveness like that. And Esau had been cheated out of his birthright, his blessing, and yet he is willing to take Jacob back, and he's demonstrated wonderful forgiveness and kindness to his brother, and what a blessing. And notice it says in verse number 5, and lift up his eyes and saw the women and the children, said, "Who are those with thee?" And he said, "The children which God hath graciously given thy servant." Then the handmaids came near, they and their children, and they bowed themselves. And Leah also with her children came near and bowed themselves. And afterward came Joseph near and Rachel, and they bowed themselves. And he said, "What meanest thou by all this drove which I met?" And so if you read back further what he did, he'd sent gifts of different type of animals as a gift to his brother, just herds of them ahead of time. He's preparing, getting ready to meet his brother Esau, Jacob is, and he didn't know if he's going to accept or not, so he's trying to appease his anger. And so he sent him all of these animals ahead of time. And then he said this, "What is all this drove about? What are all these animals about?" And he said, "These are to find grace in thy sight, in the sight of my Lord," that is, I've done this so that you would be gracious to me, that you would forgive me, and I want to do them as a gift of my apology to you, basically, is what he's saying. And I want you to accept all these animals as a token of my repentance and my sorrow for what I did, and to ask you to forgive me. And notice what Esau says. And Esau said, "I have enough, my brother. Keep that thou hast unto thyself." And Jacob said, "Nay, I pray thee, if now I have found grace in thy sight, then receive my present at my hand, for therefore I have seen thy face as though I have seen the face of God, and thou wast pleased with me." Oh, listen, Esau said, "Brother, I don't need that, and I don't need those gifts." And he's saying, "You didn't have to appease me." And then Jacob kind of insists, and he said, "Esau, you know, when I saw you, it was like the face of God." Isn't that a good thing to know that when you disobey God and you've sinned against him, when you come to him, you come to him in graciousness. I've noticed this about my own life. Whenever I failed God, sinned against the Lord, and I wrestle with that thing, and I'm under conviction, and it just takes me a while to ever come to the place where I'm willing to confess up and get right with God. But every time I've come to him, I've never had him to beat me down. I've never had him to cast me out. He's always been so gracious and kind to forgive me and to restore me and to put me back in fellowship with him. And Jacob evidently had experienced that with the Lord. In fact, we know he did at Bethel. And he said, "You know, Esau, when I saw you, it was like looking in the face of God. I could tell that you were not angry with me. I could tell that you didn't have a grudge. I could tell that you wasn't going to kill me, that you were showing grace and mercy and forgiving me. And I want to thank you for that. And so please take these gifts and my appreciation for that." So notice verse 11. And he said, verse 11, "Take, I pray thee, my blessing that is brought to thee, because God hath dealt graciously with me, and because I have enough." And he urged him, and he took it. So he talks Esau into taking it. Now, as I was reading this, I want to show you a little phrase that both of these boys used that blessed my heart. Look at it, if you will, please, in verse 9. And if you mark your Bible, mark this. Esau said, "I have enough." Will you draw a line under that? And then look down at verse 11. And he said, "Take, I pray thee, my blessing that is brought unto thee, because God hath dealt gracious with me, and because I have enough." Will you draw a line under that? Both of those boys said, "I have enough." Now, some of you, I can look at you and tell you've come to the point when you said, "I've had enough." Some of you mamas have been like that. I mean, they've been in the back seat, and they've thrown the McDonald's toys at one another, and they've come up to the windshield, and you've already threatened to kill them three different times. But it comes a time when you finally said, "I've had enough." Well, that's not what they're saying. They say, "I have enough." I want to share with you this thought for a few minutes this morning. I have enough. Will you bow with me? Father, I pray now the Holy Ghost of God would touch me. Thank you for the wonderful singing of the congregation and the choir. Thank you for Brother Brad, God, for the gifts you've given to him. And Lord, I want to thank you, Lord, for the zeal in his heart and life that encourages us to want to worship you and be at liberty at the house of God. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for the touch of the choir this morning. Wonderful song. And God, how you bless them to be able to sing it this morning, to bless our hearts and to know, God, that you're in control. And I thank you, Lord Jesus, Brother Timmy again. And thank you, God, for gifting him, for the Lord, the song and for the message and for his life. I thank you for him and Miss Linda. And now, God, I ask the Holy Ghost of God to breathe on me. Our Father, I pray, God, that, Lord, that you'd speak, not me this morning. God, encourage hearts. I pray, God, for those, Lord, who are looking to you. And God, they feel so inadequate. And God, they have such great burdens and such great needs. I pray, God, you'd make it real to them. And I'll thank you and praise you and give you glory. In Jesus' name, amen. As I was devotionally reading this passage of Scripture at home one morning a few weeks ago, I ran across those two statements, "I have enough." And boy, God got to ringing it in my heart. I have enough. How many of you could say this morning that you have enough this morning? Raise your hand. If you've got enough, you think you've got enough. I've got enough. Thank God. I want to tell you this morning, I've come to tell you, you've got enough. God, the Holy Ghost has provided for you. Jacob recognized where he got enough from. He recognized that all that he had, all the blessings he had, came from the Lord. He said, "The Lord hath been gracious unto me." And so God's got everything you need. I've got enough. I've got enough. Now listen, some people, and me often, I don't have maybe as much as I want, but I've got enough. You may not have as much as you want, but you've got enough. And I can honestly say before the Lord this morning, I don't know very many things that I really, really need or really, really want. I've got enough. I don't know of any fishing tackle that I need except that little thing that Danny Wood fishes with that they bite and they won't bite mine. That's all I know that I, but you know, I've got enough. I don't need any. I don't know of any kind of clothing I want. I've got enough of that. I don't know of any other things in related to material things that I need. I'm like most everybody else. A few things I'd like to be completely out of debt, and most people like that. But right now, I've got enough. I may not have everything I would want. You may not have everything you want, but you've got enough. Though, sitting right here this morning, you've got enough. God's given you so many things. Hey, listen, you may not have what other people have got, but you've got enough. You've got friends who've got something different you've got. Maybe they got more cars than you've got. Maybe they got a bigger house than you've got. Maybe they got something else, but you've got enough. Thank God I've got enough. We don't want to waste our time thinking about what we don't have. Let's just praise God that we got enough this morning. I've got enough. Praise God, we've got enough. Most of you got enough in your freezer to last you 6 months or in the pantry or somewhere else. You've got enough. We don't have, like I said, everything we might want, but we've got enough. We may not have what other people have got, but we've got enough. Some of you today don't have what you used to have. I mean, because of financial reversals or the crash of the economy or physical problems and other things. And maybe you don't have as much as you used to have in a lot of areas. But you've got enough. You've got enough this morning. You may not have as many clothes or as big a bank account or as big a house or as big a car as you used to have. But thank God you've got enough today. We've got enough. God has given us enough. Hey, thank God, listen, I've got enough today. I may not have what I'm going to have tomorrow. Thank God for the promises of God's word. We're going to live in a mansion. Now, I go occasionally to other churches or to other funerals particularly, and they read Psalms 23. And David said, I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. And the companion passage to that always is in John, where Jesus said this. He said, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I'll come and receive into myself that where I am, there you might be also. And in some of the new translations, when they read that verse at a funeral in regard to heaven, it said, Jesus said, in my Father's house are many rooms or apartments. I've heard some of them say apartments. There are a lot of apartments. Now, I don't understand. I know what they're talking about, and I know what they're talking about, the Jewish tradition of just adding on to the houses. But I like what the King James Bible said myself. Hey, I've lived some pretty good places, and God's been good to me, but I'm still looking forward to a mansion, praise God. I thank God for the mansion. And he said, I'm going to prepare you. I don't have today what I'm going to have tomorrow, but you know what I've got today? I've got enough. Everybody say that word. I've got enough. Hey, you may not have it all you want, but you've got a. Hey, you may not have what you used to have, but you've got enough. Hey, you may not have what your neighbor's got, but you've got enough. God's good to us. You don't have today what you're going to have tomorrow, but today you've got enough. You've got enough. Oh, you say, Brother Billy, Jacob said this. You know where I got my enough from? He said, the Lord has been gracious to me. I thank God has got enough for you. I want to say to you in the first place, he's got enough bread for you. Now, I know some of you on gluten-free and you're cutting out the bread and this, that, and the other. But I'm talking about that bread represents something. You've got enough. Let me just refer you back to a passage in the New Testament. Turn over to the book of Luke, please. Look in Luke chapter number 15. And notice what happens about this prodigal son. The Bible says in Luke 15, and there was a certain man that had two sons. And the younger of them said unto him, Father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me. And he divided unto him his living. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together and took his journey into a far country. And there he wasted his substance with riotous living. And when he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in the land, and he began to be in want. And he went and joined himself to the citizen of that country, and he sent him into the field to feed swine. and he would fain have filled his belly with the husk that the swine did eat, and no man gave unto him. Here's a boy that the father gave him everything, and he went and wasted. It's all gone now, and he's got down to feeding hogs, and it's worse than that. He got down to where he's fixing to eat the hog slop, and he, boy, that's bad. You've got low when you want to do that. I've never been that hungry. I think God I hadn't, but I've never been quite that hungry. But I'm interested in verse number 17. And when he came to himself, he said, how many hired servants of my father have bread, what's the word, enough and to spare? He said, my daddy, my father's servants have enough and then even to spare. They've got more than they need. They've got enough. And I want to tell you, he said, my father's servants got enough bread. And I want to tell you right now, David said, I've been young and I've been old, but I've never seen his seed forsaken nor begging bread. God's people are taken care of. God takes care of his people. That doesn't mean that people haven't helped me over the years. It doesn't mean that I haven't been in a situation where people have helped me or brought me food or given me things or money or whatever. But I'm thankful that God's always met the need. It always comes. God's got plenty of bread for you. It's true of the Old Testament. You remember when in the Old Testament, in regard to the manna, the Bible said they wandered around in that wilderness area. And they were out there in the wilderness. And when they were wandering in the wilderness, God rained down angels' food out of heaven to feed them. And I went back and I was reading that passage of Scripture. And here's what Moses said. God said, do this. He said, go out today and you gather as much as you need for you and your family today. And just worry about today. Get enough to feed you today. He wants to make sure you've got enough. And so they went out and gathered food. Some people didn't listen. Probably a few Baptists in the crowd. But what they did, they didn't listen. And so they gathered more than enough. They gathered more than they really needed. They were going to hoard it, going to save it. And the Bible said that when they ate and they were full, what was left over, the Bible said worms ate it. And what an awful picture that would be. Boy, they learned a lesson that first night. They'll obey God because he said, you go out and you get what you need for today. But then he said, on that sixth day before the Sabbath, you gather twice as much. And miraculously, that food didn't spoil overnight. The worms didn't come eat that. So they had some to eat on the Sabbath day. And they had enough. And here's what it said. He said that every man may have that he needeth, that nothing be left over. You know what they had? They had enough. God provided for them every day in the wilderness. I've some people tried to calculate what that was like. 3.5 million Jews, and God rained down angels' food out of heaven every day, 6 days a week. And on the sixth day, there was twice as much. And they did that for 40 years in the wilderness. God blessed them to do that. And somebody said, I don't know how they calculate that. They don't have any idea how much it weighed or how big it was. But anyhow, it was something like having like 14 freight car box fulls of food every day, rained down of heaven. They ate that so they could have that to eat. 3.5 million Jews. But you say, Brother Billy, how much was it? I don't know how much it was, but I can tell you one thing it was. It was enough. Hey, I don't know what you need today, but I'm going to tell you somebody who's got enough. He's got exactly what you need. He knows exactly. He's going to give you what you need. Boy, I got to think about that in the New Testament. The Bible says that Jesus was teaching on the mountain. The disciples said, let's send them away. They're all hungry. He said, no, let's feed them. Let's just feed them. They said, Master, we don't have any food here. He said, there's a little lad here, and he's got 5 loaves and 2 little fishes. But what is that among so many? And he said, have them sit down. And he took that bread and he broke it and he blessed it. He asked God to bless it. And he began to break the bread and he began to give it to the disciples. And they began to feed 5,000 men plus the women and children. And all of you know that women eat more than men. Say amen right there. But they fed the men, fed the women. My brother Mays Jackson, I remember him preaching that one time. He said, the Lord picked up a loaf of bread. He'd break it off, say, boop, and it's a boop. And he'd break it off, boop, and it'd just keep coming up. They fed 5,000 men and women. And, you know, think about that. 5,000 men and above the women and children fed them. And when they got through, they picked up 12 baskets full. And I went back and read all 4 Gospels give an account of that miraculous feeding of the 5,000. And there's a little bit of difference in each one of them. Just God gives a little bit of light. But one thing is said in every one of those stories about the feeding of 5,000. It says this. and they were all filled. Filled. Every one of them, all four gospels said, and they were all filled. Everybody got full. You say, Brother Bill, how much fish and how much bread does it take to feed 5,000 men plus the women plus all those children? How much you think he gave them? Enough. He gave them all enough to be filled. Thank God. I'll tell you, there's enough bread. God take care of you. God will provide for you. God is going to provide every one of your needs. There's enough bread for you to have. God will provide for you everything you need. Philippians chapter 4, verse 19, my God shall supply all of your needs. You know what he's going to do? He's going to give you enough. He's going to give you enough. Whatever you need, he'll give you enough. There'll be enough finances. There's enough food. Everything, whatever you need. Listen, don't be anxious for anything, but in prayer and supplication, make your request known to God, because I promise you, he's got enough bread for every one of you. But not only does he have enough bread for every one of us, he's got enough grace for every one of us. Enough grace. I'd say to you in the first place, he's got enough grace for salvation for every one of us. Wouldn't it be an awful thing if God had just a certain amount of grace and after a while the grace ran out? And the way the population has expanded and 6 billion people in the world now and growing every day, wouldn't it be something if somewhere along the line God's grace, just there was no more God's grace, no more God's mercy? But you know what it says in Psalms about his mercy? It said his mercy is brand new, and it said that the river's always full. God's mercy is new every morning. I mean, just replenished every day. He's got enough grace for you. Ephesians said, for by grace are you saved through faith. For by grace are you saved through faith. And that by themselves is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. He's got enough grace to save everybody in this building. He's got enough grace to save everybody in Johnson County. He's got enough grace to save everybody in North Carolina and in all this whole nation and around the world. He's got enough grace. Thank God he's got enough grace for salvation. You say, Brother Billy, you don't know what I've done. You know where I've been. Makes no difference. The Bible said where sin did abound, grace did that much more abound. You know what he's got? He's got enough grace to save every sinner. The Bible said whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord. And the Bible said he's able to save to the uttermost all that call upon him. Listen, he's got enough grace. You say, Brother Billy, my sins are this many. That don't make any difference. He's got enough to take care of it. My sins are this many. It makes no difference. He's got enough to take care of it. My sins are as big as this building. It makes no difference. His grace did much more abound. My dear friend, he's got enough grace to save everybody in this building. But let me tell you something else. He's got enough grace. He's got enough grace for you to serve. In the book of Hebrews, chapter number 12. Turn over there quickly to the little book of Hebrews. Look at Hebrews chapter 12. Near the end of your Bible, you'll find the book of Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 12, and I call your attention to one little phrase there in Hebrews chapter 12 and verse number 28. Listen to what it says. Wherefore we receive a kingdom which cannot be moved. Let us have grace whereby we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear. You know what Paul's saying? Paul said we serve him by grace. The only way I can accomplish anything or be used by the Lord is by the grace of God. God's grace. He's got enough grace for service. You say, Brother Bill, I can't do certain things. But if whatever God leads you to do, he'll equip you to do. Where God guides, he always provides. And he doesn't call the qualified, he qualifies the called. God's got something for you. And God will use you. And there's grace for you to serve. He'll give you that grace. The grace is the privilege to serve, but in grace is also the power to serve. And God will equip you by his grace. I don't deserve it. You don't deserve it. But it's by grace. God gives us grace. And if we'll just trust, he has grace for you to serve. But let me go a step further about his grace. Turn over in your Bible, please, in the book of 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians. You've got enough. Did you know that? God's got enough bread, provision for you, whatever it is, physical, financial, every other way. God's got enough for that. For your service, God's got enough grace for that. Notice, if you will, please, in 2 Corinthians in chapter number 12 as well. 2 Corinthians chapter number 12. And I just share this with you. He said this, Paul is praying, and he's asking God to do something for him. Verse number 9, I don't know if I told you, chapter 12, verse number 9. And he said, Paul has a thorn in the flesh, and he's asked the Lord to take that thorn away. It's a suffering. I mean, it's a messenger of Satan to buffet him. And he is buffeted with that. It's a thorn in his flesh, and it's over and over again. It's not just, you know, got up and felt bad this morning. I'm talking about every day, every hour, it's something going on. I mean, it's continuous day and night. And he prayed and he asked the Lord three different times to take it away, to take away that thorn. And the Lord didn't. Notice what he said in verse number 9, chapter 12 and verse 9. And he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Can I say you one thing? God's got enough grace for all of your suffering. I don't know what you're going to go through. And being a Christian does not eliminate. I've been reading about Joseph lately. Boy, there's not a man in the Bible except Joseph that there's not some recorded sin outside of Jesus. But there's no recorded sin in the Bible about Joseph. He was a type of Christ, picture of Christ. And yet that boy suffered. He didn't do one thing wrong. God gave him a vision, gave him a dream. His brothers hated him for that. They put him in a pit. They manhandled him, threw him down in that pit, sold him to Ishmaelites. They sold him to the Egyptians. He was in bondage in Egypt. God blessed him. And then the Potiphar, the leader there, his wife tried to seduce over and over and over again Joseph. And he wouldn't. He wouldn't listen. He wouldn't submit. He wouldn't give in. And then she framed him, and her husband took him in, threw him in prison. Don't know for sure how long he's in there. And there was a butler and a baker that came in, and they had a dream, and he interpreted that dream. And one of them was going to get out, and the butler got out and was supposed to, in turn, tell him about him. And the Bible says, and they went 2 full years. He did. He got freed. But 2 full years later before he ever did. Now, here is Joseph in prison, been there all this time, and now he's there two more years, and because the butler didn't speak, it's in God's divine providence. I mean, he's in prison, eating prison rations, sleeping on the floor, probably rat, snake, everything else. He's not done one thing wrong. And you say, Brother Billy, why in the world am I going through what I've done? I don't know of a thing that I've done to disobey God. I don't understand it, but God's got a plan. But I'm going to tell you what God has got. Whatever you're going through, he's got enough grace. Paul said, the Lord said to me, my grace is sufficient. You know what he said? I've got enough grace. I've got enough grace for you. Whatever you're going through, whatever suffering you're going through, whatever sickness you're going through, whatever pain you're going through, God's got enough grace to do that. Before the Lord chose to take our first little girl home, Christy, with leukemia, my wife had often said, when she knew friends and other people who had lost a child, she said, I could never go through that. I don't think I could ever get through that. Is it easy? No. Is it easy for Joseph to stay in prison? No. Is it easy for Paul to minister day after day after day with a messenger of Satan buffeting him? We said he prayed 3 times, but that doesn't mean he got buffeted 3 times. It was a continual thing every day of his life, maybe 24/7 of his life, that he lived through. And it was all the time. And even after he prayed, even after God gave him, said his grace, it did quit. But God did say this, I'll give you grace, Paul. I'll give you grace. And I don't know what you're going to go through, and it may not be over with tomorrow, but I can tell you what he'll give you today. He'll give you enough grace to go through what you've got to go through. I'm glad, my dear friend, every one of us in here have got enough grace to be saved. There's enough grace for you to serve, and there's enough grace for you to go through the suffering that you need to go through. I want you to turn over, please, to the little book of Jude, just before the book of Revelation. Look in here, one last thought, and I'm through. Just before the book of Revelation is the little book of Jude. Notice in Jude, there are no chapters in this book, just verses. And so look at verse number 24, the little book of Jude. If the easiest way to find it is find Revelation and go backwards. and you put it in reverse and come to the little book of Jude and listen to what Jude says. Jude is prophesying about the last days. He's warning them about apostasy and all in the last days. That's what the whole book's about, getting people ready for the book of Revelation and understanding how horrific and horrible these days are going to be. And he does say this at the end, though. Now unto him that's able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy, to the only wise God, our Savior, be glory and majesty and dominion and power now, both now and forever. Amen. He said in verse 24, he's able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy. That's going to happen. That's going to happen. And here's what I want to say to you. Every one of us, God gives us what we need to finish the race. God will give you exactly what you need to finish and to be presented faultless before his presence with exceeding great joy. Thank God for that. You say, Brother Billy, these are tough times and hard times. I want you to know he's got enough power and enough of his presence and enough of his blessing for us in these last days that we can finish the race. And like Paul said, I have finished my course. I've kept the faith. Henceforth, thus laid up for me a crown of righteousness, not to me only, but to all those who love his appearing. I'll tell you something. There's enough grace to finish the race. Thank God for that. There's enough grace to finish the race. Will you bow your heads in prayer with every head bowed? I've got enough. You've got enough. God's promised to give us everything we need. He's got enough for you this morning. He's got enough grace to save you this morning. He's got enough grace to strengthen you this morning for your service. He's got enough grace to help you this morning. He's a God of grace and mercy. He's your everything. Did you know that? He's our everything. He's got all you need. How many of you this morning maybe came in here thinking, I don't know what in the world I'm going to do. You've got physical problems, financial problems, things going on in your family. You don't know how you're going to get through. Well, in the first place, we're all part of the same human race. Our temptations, our problems, our burdens are very much alike. But I want to tell you, my dear friend, he's got enough for you. Don't know how you'll do it. Don't know how you'll get through it. Just like my wife said about our little girl and about children previous to God taking her to heaven early. I don't think I could go through that, she said. But she did. Was it easy? No. Were there long nights of weeping? Yes. But God gave her grace, gave me grace. And there's enough grace for you. You're going to make it. You'll make it through by the grace of God. But have you responded to that grace and salvation? He extends to you the offer of forgiveness of sin to everybody in here. But you must be born again. The wage of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ his Lord. And this grace is offered to you freely, no strings attached. But you must accept it. Would you accept him as Savior and Lord? All the other things that I've shared with you fall in line for those who are his. It's our Heavenly Father, just as Jacob said, that's been gracious to him and given him enough. And he's got enough of everything you need. But the first thing you need is to know him as Savior and Lord. If you've never been saved, let me invite you, men, women, boys, and girls, to slip to the nearest aisle and come and bow around this altar this morning and give your heart to the Lord Jesus Christ. He's got enough grace to save everybody in this building if you'll respond by faith. Sometimes we complain about our lot in life, about what we don't have, instead of appreciating what God's given us, and we've everyone got enough this morning. Some of you might want to just slip around this altar and just thank him once again that he's given you everything you've needed. His grace is sufficient. He's a great God. Let's stand together. I don't know what you need to do this morning. I encourage you just to mind the Holy Ghost. If I can help you pray with you, I want to do that. Heavenly Father, I pray now the Holy Ghost of God would help men and women, boys and girls to respond to the speaking of the Holy Ghost of God. I pray, God, if there's a lost man, a woman, boy and girl in here, that they'd not be lost, but they'd be saved today, because you've got enough grace to save everybody in this building if they'd but bow before you and ask you to forgive them and to receive Jesus as Savior. God, they can go to heaven. I pray, God, they do that. And God, for those, our Father, who are going through very difficult times, emotionally, physically, financially, every other way, I pray, God, the Holy Ghost has spoke to their heart this morning to remind them that you're our Heavenly Father. You know what things we have need of before we ever ask you. And God, you've made a promise. You'll provide all of our needs according to your riches and glory by Christ Jesus. And God, we're going to have enough. We've got enough to go through today. You'll give us enough for tomorrow and the next day and the next day. And God, help us, Lord Jesus, to be able to face each day rejoicing and to testify to those around us, God's a God of grace, and I have enough to get through this day. God, do a work now, and we'll thank you while we have our heads bowed, eyes are closed, many around the altar already. Brother Brad's going to sing a verse or two of a psalm. We're closing, and I wonder this morning if you need to come. You need to come do business with God this morning. I have enough. I have enough. The devil will lie to you. He'll try to get you worried and anxious. Get you to complain about God, about your lot in life. But obey the Holy Ghost. Come right now.